Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Well, welcome back to yet another incredible week. You guys are awesome. You're absolutely awesome. Texting, phoning, WhatsApping. What is it? You guys are now WhatsApping. You used to just email, and you have been such great fans of the guests and such great fans of the show. We pull our analytics. And so I just want to say hello, international mission accepted listeners and viewers. We thank you. We appreciate you. And you know what? Feels really good knowing that you're just out there on the sidelines cheering us on. We have the most incredible guests. And if you had the opportunity, and if you haven't, go watch the replay on the Women's Channel to listen to our incredible guest today, who has just come back from Shanghai. And she's, I'm sure, going to share a little bit about that. But this is Kathy Garber. And I'm sure you know who she is. And you, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you some things that are going to trigger for you to know. Now, this is her celebratory year. I'm going to tell you, launched a book that we're going to dig into. She was nominated for a Grammy. Oh, my goodness, this year. What a year for you. It is the 60th anniversary of a show that was a show that she's very prominent in, and it is the Family Affair TV series. The 45th anniversary of a show that is still running on the Disney Channel. And for all you Spider-Man fans out there, so Spider-Man and his friends, that is an incredible show that she did, and you will have to listen to her voice because she's done an incredible voice over there. And then as a child actor, she participated in the Ten Commandments, and it is celebrating its 70th anniversary. So she's had things going on for a while. This woman's been on a mission for a while. So how could we not have her on the Mission Accepted show? Because we talk about people that took on the mission. This woman took on the mission. And she could write the playbook, right? She's like, you're like the space station for the next mission. And we're very excited to have a conversation with Kathy today. And Kathy, thank you. We had a conversation with you on the Stand Up, Speak Up show before you went on these incredible journeys and these incredible shows that you did. Now you are just back home in LA, coming from LA. Kathy's here to share with us a little bit about what's going on now. I'd love if you want to share with us a little bit about the journey that you just came back from. What an incredible story. Tell us a little bit about Shanghai. And then let's dig into a little bit of this incredible romancing with the stars, inspiring Hollywood love stories. Because who doesn't love a good love story? Who doesn't love a good love story? So welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you so much, Deb. I am delighted to see you again. I love seeing you in LA at the Oscars. And the viewing parties and everything was so exciting there. And then going to Shanghai, I had never been to China. And just about 3 weeks ago, my agent called and they said, oh, well, they're doing a vertical drama and they want you to be the matriarch of this house and of the family that they're doing the story about. Now, I was not really familiar with vertical dramas and short dramas. I had one time, I think, seen online a little snippet of these really beautiful people and very dramatic things going on, lots of action. I said, what is that? And then I still have to see the next episode. That was like 30 seconds. Oh, now I have to see the next episode. So I had an inkling about what it was. But I was really blown away when I got into the city itself, and outside of the city, there was this brand new studios. They built a mansion just to shoot in. They had sound stages. They had restaurants. They had dorms for some of the actors to stay in. And it was just, I found out it started in China. It's a $1 billion business. And I said, well, I think I'm going to have to do more of these. And the cast was already. And I really had a wonderful time. I was very impressed with Shanghai.
Well, so tell us, so there's a lot of people that are listening that are not familiar maybe with the term vertical dramas. And you've obviously come from a history of, I mean, you must have seen television change so many different ways. I mean, I really want to just, you know, pass off to you, as they would traditionally say, in staying current. I mean, that must be so interesting in any sector, but in your sector in particular, it moves so quickly. It moves so quickly. So what is a vertical drama for people that are new to that term?
They call it a vertical drama because it's shot vertically, so it will fit on a phone.
Yeah.
So you can see it. So many things are just, they are shot horizontally, or are shot with a different ratio for the image. Mm-hmm. And these are called vertical dramas because they are shot that way, and short dramas. And it was people's attention, I guess, seemed to be very fleeting. So to grab it and to get something that people will look at, and then to go on to the next thing and go on to the next thing, it just suits seemingly our new society internationally. Mm-hmm. People in China, I felt, were very urgent, and everything moved very fast. They had to get things done quickly. And so this fit in with the way that they do things. But it was also very entertaining to the people that were watching it. And I agree that one does have to stay current. When I started out, Family Affair was the first television series in the United States in color. And just so happens, it was the first television series that went to China back in the day, because it was a family drama and a family comedy. And there was no violence. Nobody was yelling at each other. Nobody was swearing at each other. And that suited their particular culture. Mm-hmm. These particular dramas, they're now gotten into a little bit of swearing and a couple little slappings along the way. That's as far as they go. But then there's some other ones that are in a different category. But so from the color, and then from going from broadcast to the platforms, and now to AI, I have to do an audition for a new series, and they want a grandma PI, and they wanted a skit. Well, now I'm not basically a stand-up comedian. I've done many comedies and many sitcoms. I said, well, I don't have a skit to show them. What did I do? I went to ChatGPT and I said, would you please write me a skit for a grandma detective, a comedy? Well, now I have all these scripts that AI wrote, and I am co-joining though with her, and I'm changing this and I'm changing that. But I think it's interesting to work with the new things that go on. Yeah. And I think that what is keeps one current.
Well, you know, congratulations, because it is really hard. I talk about that even being in TV, right? And, you know, a lot of the audience for our show are entrepreneurs or creatives, or, you know, even some people in media, but mostly entrepreneurs, and just staying current. Because I always talk about, we weren't really wired that way. Like, this is new neuronal learning, right? My son is 22. You met my son when at the Oscars event. That was lovely. That's such a nice moment for me to have you two meet each other. For him, you know, this is a new world. It would be a challenge for his brain to go back and do some of the things that we did without the use of technology. So there's always a real rewiring that's needed, and honestly, an eagerness to stay current. Like the chutzpah to go, okay, I'm going to learn something new. And I love that about you. You are very an adventurous woman. Very adventurous. So let's talk a little bit about this. Let's talk about the Romancing with the Stars. I love this. It was so nice. Thank you so much for signing the cover. I always think that's lovely. It always makes reading the book so much more. How did this book come about? And tell us, you know, you got Hollywood and you got love. So we all want to know what this book is about.
Well, I have a co-author who came to me, and he was a professor for many years, and he knows about computers, et cetera. And he really loved classic television and classic films, but he really didn't know about the entertainment business, and he really didn't have the contacts. And I've already written 5 books, and he had not written any books. So it was a really a nice pairing. We got along very well, except for he didn't. I was very creative, and I would set him up to do some of the interviews, like with Frankie Avalon and Pat Boone, people that have had long-term relationships that were stars in Hollywood. And he would come back, and then I would edit everything and make it a little bit more picturesque, because he said, and then they went down to the beach. Then they saw a star. Then they decided to sit down. Wait a minute, Doug.
We got to add some Hollywood here. Yeah.
Yeah, I said the waves were crashing on the water, which impelled them to go further down into the slopes. But where were they going, really? You know, so a little more drama. And so it was a wonderful coalition. And what makes this book, I think, special, people write about celebrities all the time. People have not really written about their long-term romances. I thought it was going to be a very short book. But
that's fair. Oh my gosh, that's fair. Yeah. That's what we hear about, right? Oh,
yeah, exactly. Oh, on divorce number 3. Mm-hmm. And but here are couples that were actually able to, you know, not flourish in some ways in Hollywood. And what is special too about the books, we have their bios and how they met, their most magic moments, most romantic places. And then we have how the readers can recreate what those stars did, because there's like surveys that have been taken. 90% of the people want to do what celebrities do. Oh, Beyonce went to Africa. I would like to go to Africa. Where did she go? Where did she stay? So there are travel guides for each couple. There are 27 couples. And each one has a travel guide at the end of their particular chapter as to what were their most romantic moments and places that the reader can recreate.
That's spectacular. That's spectacular, because there is, you know, when you're enveloped with somebody, like you have a relationship with someone who's on the screen or what have you, you hear it all the time. I mean, I was talking with somebody yesterday about some of the classics, right? You know, Audrey Hepburn, and we just happened to have this conversation about really some of the most incredible women that have been on the screen, and you're encapsulated. And I think it's really beautiful. And people love to go to places, like you said, where they've been, or have conversations, or have a cocktail at that bar where they first met. And I think it's beautiful, because you also get to recreate the memories that you have with the experience of that person who's on the screen. I just opened up a page, and I love this. So there's a page here where on the dance floor of the Love Boat, right? So, I mean, don't we all remember the show, The Love Boat? One of the things that people like to know is, like what you said, is how have couples been able to stay together long term in an industry that has a reputation for, you know, maybe, shall we say, a high turnover? Is that how you can put it? A high turnover?
Is that nice? Nice way to put it, Deb.
Did you find in the stories, was there anything that was kind of consistent, or that, when you say long-term, what is the time? Like, is it people that have been married 20 years and up, or 25 years and up? Or?
It's 25 years and up. And the leader of the group there was Pat Boone with 61 years, and Frankie Avalon had close second with 60 years. I think that two things, threads that were there. Everyone seemed to have not a person in the business. There, whether it was male or female, that perhaps the female was in the business, like Ruta Lee, but her husband Webb was not. And maybe it was Frankie Avalon, but his wife was not. And I think that that gave ballast to their relationship and helped ground it in many ways. And also because they shared the same kind of spirituality and that they believed in something beyond just themselves. And if they got into some difficulty or some problems, they would talk it out, but they would also maybe listen to God, or is there a way, you know, that she could lead us, you know, into a different direction and help us stay together. There were little things, you know, that helped keep the relationship going in a romantic way, bringing a single rose, giving a person a book, recognizing. And I think the primary thing was respect of each other. And so those were kind of the tenets, and those were the threads that kept it and made the nice fabric of a long-term relationship.
Wow. Did you find that when you were putting the book together and you were making a list of people that you wanted to approach to be in the book, was that a yes right away? Were people hesitant to talk about their personal inside? Like, what was that like?
Yes, three or four or five or eight couples did not want to share. Angela Cartwright, or I don't name names.
Yeah.
You know, they were hesitant. Some had met and under circumstances that they didn't want to expose, I think. And I think that long-term classic Hollywood people, you wanted to keep their private life private. Mm-hmm. But then the other ones were happy to share and happy to inspire others and say, yes, we've had our ups and downs and it's a roller coaster, but this is what made us stay in the car of the roller coaster. And they were proud. They were proud to have done it.
That's beautiful. Is there anything in here that when you were reading it reminded you of maybe some of the ways that you have had a long-term relationship? You definitely, you were sharing earlier pre-show, 44 years. That is a considerable. Was there things that when people you were reading their stories that you could relate, you were like, yeah, that was something that I experienced? Or what is it like for you from being a long-term, listening to other people's long-term?
Well, mine was a little different because I was, 33, 34. Yes, I was 32 and I was not married. And I was a little upset about the fact that I was not married and I wanted to be married. I dated and dated and I said, look at all my friends. They are nicely married. They have children. This is it. I said, what I'm going to do, I said, the next person I meet, I am going to marry. And I said, yes, that's what I'm going to do. So I was in Palm Springs. I had a friend, Arvind Galanka, and her friend, Tom. And it was a tennis tournament from the music industry. And Arlene says, Kathy, we need a fourth to play tennis. And I said, oh, okay. I'd love to play tennis. I'll come down. So the three of us were there, and the fourth person had not shown up. And I said, okay. This person I'm going to marry. The next person I had told myself I'm going to marry. So this is it. This is the person. So in comes a 6'3" guy and he's playing tennis. He unfortunately or fortunately said, oh, finally a woman that can play tennis. I'm going to get married. And I'm going, tee-hee. So 3 years later, we got married and we were married for 44 years. You have to be positive. It doesn't matter whether you're an entrepreneur saying this is the best brand I've ever done. This is the best lotion I've ever made. This is the best part I've ever going to do. I said, you know, you have to be positive and affirm these things. It's my philosophy.
I am sure that statement has just inspired many people that are listening to this right now that have, you know, that are getting back up to bat. You know what I mean? Like things haven't worked out. They want to get married or what have you. I think that's a great story. Don't we all? That's a great story.
Yeah, you just have to put it out there. Put out those good vibes and people get them. It's like, have you seen online where the dog goes up? There's like all these people and he sniffs and he chooses one particular person.
Oh, no, I haven't.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see the animal chooses that particular person that's going to be with them. Well, going looking around, oh, I like that person.
Oh,
I'm going to go meet that one.
That is fantastic. Was there any surprises? Was there anything when putting this book together? Whenever you're putting a book together, for anyone that's listening, we know that books are not overnight, right? There's process. There's what are we going to put in? There's editing. There's what does the cover look like? I mean, in that whole process. But was there anything that you are already an author, so you've gone through that process a little bit. Was there any surprises? Was there anything that no one said that inspired you in a different way, or you were like, oh, I never thought that, or?
I think I was surprised about how simplistic it seemed to be and how easy it became, that it wasn't very difficult, that it was just there. And some relationships grew just from meeting someone, and then 6 months later they were married, and some took them 3 years to really, like me, to finally tie the knot, or to really not be afraid.
Yeah.
To not be afraid and say, okay, I'm going to trust this person. And what made those people trust the other person?
Okay.
And just then in the process of the book has a lot of pictures in it.
Yeah.
And beautiful photographs. And that was something Doug was just so good about, is choosing these fabulous, and I don't know where he got them, but some of them we could not get the copyright for, and he was very disappointed about that. So we had to get not his first choice.
Right.
But that was just, again, in the process of putting the book together, and how many little spaces that we wanted below the picture to make it look like an artistic book as well as a heartfelt book.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely gorgeous. And look, this is not a small book. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of loving that's gone on here. And did the couples that you talked to, do they all have a copy of the book?
Not yet, but I'm going to the Hollywood show. There's a Hollywood autograph show, nostalgia show, every maybe twice a year. And Frankie Avalon's going to be there. So I'm just looking forward to, look, Frankie, here's a book for you.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it must be so, I think it's such an honor to first of all be asked, to be asked to share your story is always an honor. And I think when you see it in print, it's different than when someone does an article on you or an interview on you. I mean, we've all had that happen, but we know because we participated in that conversation, and it's been an article or a magazine or whatever. But I think when you have been asked to be part of a book, you have a chapter in your book, you shared something of yourself in a book, I think it always holds dear to the heart. I think that's, yeah, amazing.
I do too. I think a legacy, and especially when you get a little older, what is your legacy? Oh, and here's, I'm in this particular book or that particular book.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it seems like I'm just working and working. And then you look back and said, oh, did I do all that? Did I? And I just got a couple of awards, of the Hollywood, Golden Era of Hollywood Awards from the Oscars that they were presented. And I say, I wasn't doing this for awards. And all of a sudden I said, gee, I did do a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was not aware of it as, no, I'll write this book. I'll do that. I'll do that voiceover. I'll do that movie. And you just, and here's my family that my son is still living with me. That will never leave, who I really like. He's 35. He invited his girlfriend to live with us 15 years ago, and she's still here. And she, they're both great. I love them. But, so you're dealing with the family and the house and your career and the world and all those things. And you don't realize until someone says, oh, you did a pretty good job. I says, oh, thank you. And, oh, by the way, you're in my book. Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, no. And here's an award. And as you should, I mean, you've been such an icon in so many different sectors. And I think also the beautiful thing is in different places in people's lives, right? I mean, we really have a relationship and we get impacted. Some people, I fell in love with Gloria Steinem through an article in a magazine. Right. I've had a major girl crush ever since. I just would not have known of her had I not read that article. So I I followed her journey, her life experience, and she's still rocking and rolling, much like you.
Right. Yes. And now it's even faster, not only articles, but it's Facebook and it's Instagram, and you see how people are moving and what they're doing, and I do love ChatGPT because I am with that woman, it's a woman to me. I ask her 20 questions a day, and she always has the answer. Oh, ask any question. And it's from, how long should I leave my bananas out to, would you please make me a comedic skit? It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, like you said, I mean, it's just been an evolution. Look, before we wrap up, is there anything that you want to say about the book or anything that you're doing right now that you want to leave off with? And then I have a special question for you.
Sure. People can get my book and all my books on Amazon.com. And if they want them autographed, they can go to my website, which is KathyGarver.com. Easy enough. And I'd love to talk to people on Facebook and have them join my Instagram.
Yeah, join her Instagram and have a conversation. Let her know where you are in the book and talk about the stories and follow what this incredible woman's doing. I mean, I'm sitting here and I look at the book and it's amazing. It's been on my desk ever since you gave it to me. So I have a completely different question. I mean, I know that there's things that you're doing and you are a very active participant in your life. I have to say, you're such an inspiration. You're such an inspiration. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you, because as someone who's been in the public light and people know things about you, right? They've seen you here. They've seen you here. Is there anything, could be even your favorite sandwich, but is there something that we don't know about you? Is there something that you want to share about yourself or some little, your favorite bird or a little story that happened here, something in your world or career that we don't know that you want to share with us today?
Well, maybe it's that I have been always very flexible. I could do the splits when I was 3 years old. I could do a turnover and a back bend and all of this. And at that time, they didn't have gymnastics. And my father very, very sternly said, he says, well, she is not going to be in circus. I am not a trapeze artist, but I am still flexible to this day. And I am not young, but I tell you, I can, put my hands on the floor standing up, and I can kick, and I can do back bends, and I can do all kinds of things. And I'm just grateful to God that He gave me the flexibility and the ability to do many physical things and still be healthy.
Wow, that's incredible. All right. Well, good thing the circus wasn't coming to town. We appreciate that you went into the career choice of entertainment and film and theater and voiceover and all the wonderful things, writer, all the things that you've done. You know what? If I was your son and I moved in, I wouldn't leave either. So smart guy. And then he's like, hey, sweetie, come on over here. This is fun. He's living his best life. But with that, hun, I'm going to just thank you so much for being with us today. And I want to thank our audience again. You are just incredible people doing incredible things. And look, if you want to share your incredibleness, come on to the show. If there's something that you have that you're doing that is mission, it's profit, it's nonprofit, it's important, you want to share it, we want to hear it. So I know that you'll reach out. Thank you so much, Kathy. Listen, audience, same thing. You're going to hear it. If you've been here once, you're going to hear this at the end of every show. I want you to be well, and I want you to stay groovy. All right. Bye for now.